the National Basketball Association. You could talk about it 365 days of the year, which is why it's best for us to chat with Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, who joins us now. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I actually just got done with one of my first events in this new NBA season. The Clippers had a groundbreaking for their new arena in Los Angeles. It's going to cost almost $2 billion. It's going to have solar panels on the roof. I mean, every, you know, gizmo and gadget you could possibly imagine. Paul George was there. Kawhi Leonard was there. Of course, Steve Ballmer, the owner, was there. So it's nice to start getting back into the swing of things. You know, media day is right around the corner. And from then, it's going to be preseason, and then the games are on.
Well, we want to get into a lot of that. And obviously, as we said, you could talk about the NBA every single day of the year. I got to just ask this quickly, though. As we said, coming to you live from Auburn here in SEC country, Ben Golliver's history with college football, has it ever been existent, or has that just been something that you've never paid much attention to, Ben?
Well, look, my entire family was from Western Michigan, so I was indoctrinated at a very early age as a University of Michigan Wolverines fan. And, you know, we had that national title season with Charles Woodson. I was feeling so great about life. I thought I had a program that was going to be just carrying me, you know, for decades and decades, sort of like Auburn and Alabama down there, right?
Yeah.
Well, the last 10 years or so has been pretty rough. We're off to a 2-0 start. I'll take it. Hopefully we can kind of build on that and get a big win against Wisconsin here in a couple weeks. That'd be nice on the road. But it's been a real tough time. Everybody just wants to talk about Fire Harbaugh and how come we don't have any quarterbacks. And, you know, I still put myself through it every Saturday, guys. You know, I'm sure you're the same way. Good years, bad years, you have to watch the games start to finish, and for the last decade or so, it's been a little bit of a chore.
The setup there, Ben, though, I was not expecting you to say that they were still part of your life, Michigan football, that is. The setup with how you started that answer, I was expecting a left turn saying, yeah, I can't put up with them anymore.
Oh, well,
but you're still every day. I love that.
No, look, I mean, if you guys are born Tigers, you're staying Tigers, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Come on now. You don't get to turn your back on that. I mean, it's in the blood. And so, you know, my family actually goes back multiple generations with Michigan. I go to the big house. You know, if it wasn't a COVID year, I'd be out there for a game this year. I try to go once every single year and, you know, sit up close and, you know, just let my fan side out of it. You know, as a journalist, you know, we don't get to do that very often.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times you're just kind of sitting in silence watching these games. And so I would say college football is like my one passion. You know, I don't follow the NFL, don't really follow baseball, but, you know, everybody loves college football Saturday, man, everybody.
How close to the NBA season are we getting? I know you mentioned that media days is right around the corner, but what's the start of the year looking like, Ben?
Well, we've got a little more than a month until the opening week of games, and it's a really interesting season this year because you've got the Lakers and the Nets in these sort of rival cities, New York and Los Angeles, both building up these huge super teams and kind of getting ready to go to war. And for the last decade, it's kind of been LeBron or Kevin Durant. You know, KD's always been chasing LeBron, trying to become the best player in the world. You know, they squared off in the NBA Finals in 2012, and they actually haven't faced each other in the Finals since then. So now it's 10 years later. Are we going to get a Brooklyn versus LA showdown? I think that's one of the biggest storylines this season. And you've also just seen that these guys call their friends up and they say, hey, you want to play with me, right? So you've got Kyrie, James Harden playing with Kevin Durant. And then for the Lakers, it's everybody who kind of knows LeBron. They got Dwight Howard, Rondo, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis. I mean, some of these names will just, you know, it's almost amazing they're going to be in one building at the same time. I'll tell you what, I have never looked forward to a media day more than I'm looking forward to this Lakers media day. It's going to be almost like a USA basketball practice, right? A dream team practice when you're looking around at every corner. And you've got probably 6 or 7 Hall of Fame level players on the same roster.
And I think as fans, and certainly for what you do, Ben, it's the media day that kind of lets you know, okay, it's here. We experience that at SEC media days with college football in our backyard. But from the fan side of things, talking about the Lakers and bringing all those players together, I truly agree with what you're saying, that I feel like when you get those photo opportunities from day one, right? No Photoshop, no nothing of LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and the bunch all together, then you're like, oh man, this actually happened. Like, they found a way to make this work, and it's time to play basketball.
No, it's funny with the NBA offseason, right? Like, the moves kind of come in stages, right? So you have that big Westbrook trade, then a couple weeks later, Carmelo signs on, then Dwight signs on, then they go and snag Rondo, and then when all the dust settles, you step back and think, wow, you know, that's a lot of big name players on the same roster. But here's why I think it's good for the NBA. First of all, you know, the Lakers fan base is huge, so their fans are going to be excited, hoping to win a title like they did down in the bubble in 2020, right? But I think the Lakers have a chance to really be hated this year. You know what I mean? Because yeah. they've brought in so much talent onto one roster, some guys who have kind of been polarizing over the course of their careers. You know, some people like Carmelo, some people hate Carmelo. Same deal with Russell Westbrook, same deal with LeBron James. I think there's going to be a lot of people watching the Lakers this season hoping that they fail. And actually, same deal for the Nets as well. You know, when the Bucks upset the Nets in the playoffs last year, there's a lot of people who were like, yeah, go Milwaukee. They had never cheered for Milwaukee before in their lives. And they're like, all right, it's good to see them take down the Nets. So I think you're going to get a lot of that this year. It's going to kind of be these big market monoliths versus the little guys, and we'll see how it plays out.
Those darn Badgers fans, man. Getting excited about their Bucks winning a championship. Ben Golliver of the Washington Post is joining us here on the program today as we're getting ready for the NBA season right around the corner. Let's touch on a couple of different things, and let's start in our backyard, Ben. Obviously, here in Auburn, just a 90-minute drive up the road, and you're in Atlanta, and the Hawks are a team that made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to be on national TV a good bit this upcoming season. What have you made about sort of the surge from the team in our backyard, the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, I didn't see it coming. I'll be the first person to tell you that. I actually covered their Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. And by that point of the season, I mean, the Hawks had a lot of injuries. They were not, you know, fully there in terms of a health standpoint, but they showed an awful lot of heart, an awful lot of guts, and they were ready for primetime. They were not scared of the moment. Everyone's going to look at Trae Young and just say big game player, and that's absolutely true. He goes to Madison Square Garden in the first round. Completely takes down the Knicks. You know, he's snubbing his nose at Spike Lee, doing all that good stuff. But it was the consistency factor where, you know, he shows up, doesn't play great in Game 7 against Philly in the second round, but he guts out the win down the stretch to pull an upset there. And then until he got injured against the Bucks, he was giving them all they could handle as well. I think there's a temptation to say, well, this is a young team. Everything broke right for them last year. It's going to be very difficult for them to kind of get back to that same stage this year. And I do think that's, you know, true to a certain degree, but I would also just warn people, don't write these guys off, because they should come back more healthy and deeper than they were last year, and they've got an awful lot of talent. They really came out of nowhere, though. I mean, it was all about that coaching change last year. You know, they fired Lloyd Pierce, they hired Nate McMillan, kind of promoted him, and they just completely took off. And I think they're going to be able to use that momentum coming into this season and be really good. You know, to me, they have a chance to fight for home court, you know, top four seed in the Eastern Conference. I wouldn't have them in the top tier of contenders. I think that's Brooklyn and Milwaukee again, but they're probably right there in that second tier pack with teams like Miami and maybe Philadelphia.
Ben, sticking with the Hawks and touching on the other team that we cover here, the Auburn Tigers, they just drafted Sharif Cooper in the second round, but they already have a superstar point guard, like you said, in Trae Young. What do you think the Hawks' plan is for Sharif Cooper?
Well, look, you just need to have depth and injury protection. I think the concern with Trae is he's so small and he can kind of get banged up. And I don't know if you guys saw that injury during the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, he just stepped on a referee's foot. It wasn't like some, you know, huge getting knocked out of the air type of event or situation, and yet it basically sidelined him or took him out for the next couple of games, and he really wasn't the same after that injury. And so I think when you have superstar level players, you're just looking for depth around them, try to lighten their load as much as possible, and then hope that he can develop into, you know, a capable, like, you know, steady backup for years to come. But look, that's Trae's team, man. You know, being there in Atlanta, that's not always been the loudest building over the years, and that city loves Trae Young. They have really rallied around him, and I think that, you know, he's going to be there for an awful long time, and, you know, everybody else is just kind of playing on Trae's playground, if that makes sense.
So, sticking with the Auburn Tigers, a guy who's on campus now but is getting a lot of NBA hype, and Jabari Smith, projected to be a lottery pick. What does the NBA see in him?
Well, look, I mean, I think you guys probably know him a little bit better than I do. I understand that he's big and athletic, and he kind of hails from the South. You know, to be honest, it's a little bit early for 2022 draft stuff, but I love that you're already looking down that direction.
We're excited.
But if you're on the board at this point, that's great.
Ben Golliver is joining us here on the program from the Washington Post. We're talking about the National Basketball Association. So, Ben, as we take a look at some of the big storylines in the sport, the month of August and really up until about a week ago, I felt like every single day someone was saying something about Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. For whatever reason, I haven't seen as much over the past few days. Maybe I'm just missing it. What happens next? Like, what's going to be the result of all of this?
Look, he could be out for a while. You know, I mean, I think that's really possible here. I think if you're his agency, Clutch Sports, I mean, it's a very powerful agency. I would be trying to take a stand here. I mean, the Sixers did him very dirty at the end of last season. They blamed him for those playoffs. You know, they said, look, you didn't want to shoot the layup. That's why we lost Game 7. You know, they did not show a lot of faith in him. Doc Rivers questioned whether he could be a championship-level point guard. Joel Embiid kind of blamed him for that loss. The only person who stood up for Ben Simmons throughout that entire time was Dwight Howard, and he's not on the team anymore. And so I think if you know, if you're Ben Simmons in his camp, you just tell the Sixers, look, you didn't want him here. You're the one blaming him for the loss. You better trade him. And if you can't find a trade, tough luck. That's your fault, not our fault. I do think we're going to get a little bit of a training camp holdout situation. Now, that's just me kind of reading the tea leaves, but I see no reason for him to go there. I actually think if, you know, he shows up, it might actually be not in Philadelphia's best interest, you know, because it becomes this big distraction, personality conflicts, and all those kinds of things. So he wants to be traded, but he has very little trade value at this point. You know, no team with championship aspirations really wants to trade for him because you can't trust him in the playoffs because he's gotten into his own head so deeply in those key moments, right? So to me, I think it's going to be it's going to drag out. You know, eventually someone's going to come with an offer that Philadelphia has to take, but I think that they can just afford to be patient. You know, we're seeing this with John Wall in Houston right now. I mean, he may wind up sitting out this entire season coming up just because Houston's rebuilding. They don't really have a need for him. So it's a little bit different in that Ben Simmons is still in his prime, you know, still has a lot of years and a lot of money left on his contract. But these kinds of weird holdout situations or just like separating star from team situations do happen in the modern NBA. And I think this one, you know, if they try to push the issue, I just think it's going to get ugly. Like if they try to force him to come to camp, you know, he's going to have to give an interview or kind of say what's on his mind. And he has plenty of reason to be upset with the Sixers based on how last year's playoffs went.
So you're not a basketball coach. You're well aware of that fact. And we try to watch what happens on the basketball floor. And obviously remember Ben Simmons from his SEC days playing there at LSU. What's up with the shooting? Is it truly just a comfort level and now he's made it into more of a mental game? If you had to sort of diagnose what's been going on with Ben Simmons.
Oh, look, it's all mental. I mean, look, he passes up so many shots in all different types of situations, whether it's layups, mid-range jumpers, three-pointers. When he gets to the free throw line, I mean, what did he shoot? 34% from the free throw line during the playoffs? I mean, that's worse than Shaq by a lot. You know, that's pretty much like the worst that we've ever seen from somebody who regularly gets to the line, and then to top it all off, now he's afraid to get fouled, so he's changing the way he plays so he doesn't have to go and shoot the free throws. All of that just tells you crisis of confidence. I couldn't explain it. You know, it's very strange. He was so talented in high school and coming up, you know, like you guys were talking about the player for Auburn earlier being a projected lottery pick. I mean, Ben Simmons, when he was a junior in high school, I saw him play, and he was like, you know, already projected number one pick for his class, and sure enough, he was the number one pick. But in his like 4 or 5 year NBA career, he has not progressed in any meaningful way. You look at his numbers, they're completely flat. I mean, how often do you guys see, you know, players show up freshman year in college and have the exact same stats by the time they're in their senior year? It never happens. Right. You always get better. And for Ben Simmons, he just hasn't been able to do it. I do think he needs a new home, though. I think it's very tough to be the number two guy to Joel Embiid, because Embiid is so popular in Philadelphia and that fan base is so rabid and diehard that you're always going to look worse by comparison. They're always going to blame you for everything. I think he's better off if they trade him to a smaller market team where there's not as much pressure, not as much expectations, and he has more room to kind of flourish and be the point guard and rack up the triple-doubles and do that kind of stuff. Because right now, he's trying to make it work with the center, and they just don't fit, and it's really stunting his growth.
Let's talk about the free throw shooting for a second. Again, Ben Golliver from the Washington Post is joining us here. A little fun question for you here, but equate that to our profession if you could, because I really can't in terms of this thing is so mental, it should be way easier to get done, but for whatever reason, I've got all these blocks in the world. Is there anything equivalent to what we do?
Well, it's like the Yips, man. You know, if you came on and, you know, the light went on every morning when your show started and you just started stuttering, right, for like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the show, and you just couldn't get it out, you know, and every time they kicked back to you, I don't know if you guys have a weather guy or a traffic guy doing updates or whatever, but every time they throw it back to you, you're like, I mean, first of all, you probably get fired within about 2 weeks, right? And, you know, I'm sure if the Sixers could move on a little bit more easily from Ben Simmons, they would. But that's the crazy thing about the NBA and professional sports. This guy's got 4 years, like $30-plus million per year left guaranteed on his contract. That's tricky to trade. And, again, you know, if you're a team, I mean, imagine if you're the general manager of the Hawks, right? Why would you want to trade for Ben Simmons when he just completely choked against you in the playoffs, right? Like, if you're any team that's trying to put together a title team, there's no reason you would ever want to trade for a guy who's making that much money who comes up so short in the playoffs. And you understand that mental challenges, you know, confidence issues are very, very difficult to kind of diagnose and overcome. So, you know, the good thing you could say about Ben Simmons, he really works at the game. He's been in the gym all summer long here in Los Angeles. He's surrounding himself with good trainers, other NBA players. He's getting his reps. The problem is, you know, it's just like, you know, back to our analogy, maybe you could read all of your sports updates no problem when you're home alone in your bedroom, right? Like, you just get through it, no big deal. But once the light goes on and, you know, everybody's listening, that's when you kind of panic. And that's the problem for Simmons. You cannot, you know, replicate playoff intensity during the summer. And so all this work he puts in, you know, what does it really amount to anything if he can't do it when it counts?
Incredible. We're hopeful that we don't have any Yips scenarios moving forward, but the fact that you're able to come up with that on the fly is quite impressive. Ben, let me end with this. What is it like to be there for the Hall of Fame induction weekend and everything that goes into that?
Well, the only one I've ever been to was Kobe Bryant's. It was actually this last spring, and it was so emotional. It was just very, 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 you know, sad in a lot of ways because you had so many people sharing their memories of him. Obviously, Vanessa Bryant stole this show with her speech, and to watch Michael Jordan very carefully escort her up the stairs, man, I got goosebumps from that because we know how much Michael Jordan meant to Kobe Bryant and vice versa. We know how much Kobe Bryant meant to Michael Jordan. I thought this most recent Hall of Fame, you know, I thought Chris Bosh had a great speech. You know, it was a really tough situation in life for him where he gets a diagnosis at age 31 that he's got blood clots. He can't play basketball anymore. And, I mean, imagine that. In the middle of your career, you're an all-star gold medalist, two-time champion, and the doctors say, you can't play anymore. You're going to die. You know, potentially you're risking your life if you try to play. So he has to retire at the top, and it's clear that he's spent the last 4 or 5 years trying to come to terms with that. If any of your listeners get the chance, go watch his speech because I thought it was a beautiful message about closure, about how you can kind of move on from difficult circumstances. And he traced all these different situations in his life where he had been actually brought to tears. You know, people were bullying him when he was a kid. You know, he lost the NBA Finals to the Dallas Mavericks in 2011. He got that diagnosis from his doctor. He was just very vulnerable and honest about his feelings as he's describing these situations. And essentially the takeaway was like those situations make you who you are. It's not always going to be easy, and it's all about how you respond. I thought it was a beautiful message from a guy who basically had his career taken away from him. And it was just crazy to see. He's still only 37, and he's already in the Hall of Fame. It's incredible.
Wild. We'll for sure have to check that out. It's Ben Golliver from the Washington Post joining us here on the program. He's incredible. Give him a follow on Twitter. Read his work at the Washington Post, and he's a frequent guest here on our program. We're very grateful for the time. Ben, good luck to your Wolverines this weekend versus Northern Illinois. Look forward to catching up with you again sometime down the line.
Yes, sir. All right, take care. Good luck to you guys. We play Penn State?
Penn State, man. Big one.
Oh, well, you need to get that W for us, all right? So go ahead. Go in there and make it big. Make it big, all right?
Good deal. We'll see you, Ben.